And let us turn in our Bibles to 1 Kings chapter 21. 1 Kings chapter 21. As we continue in our study of 1 Kings and as our study of Elijah and the difficulties which were had with Ahab. And this is a very interesting passage that reminds us of the grace of our God, even to one as wicked as Ahab. So let us hear together God's word from 1 Kings chapter 21. Now it came to pass after these things that Naboth the Jezreelite had a vineyard which was in Jezreel next to the palace of Ahab king of Samaria. So Ahab spoke to Naboth, saying, "Give me your vineyard, that I may have it for a vegetable garden, because it is near next to my house, and for it I will give you a vineyard better than it. Or if it seems good to you, I will give you its worth in money." But Naboth said to Ahab, "The Lord forbid that I should give the inheritance of my fathers to you." So Ahab went into his house, sullen and displeased because of the word which Naboth the Jezreelite had spoken to him. For he had said, "I will not give you the inheritance of my fathers." And he lay down on his bed and turned away his face and would eat no food. But Jezebel his wife came to him and said to him, "Why is your spirit so sullen that you eat no food?" He said to her, "Because I spoke to Naboth the Jezreelite and said to him, 'Give me your vineyard for money, or else if it pleases you, I will give you another vineyard for it.' And he answered, 'I will not give you my vineyard.' Then Jezebel his wife said to him, 'You now exercise authority over Israel. Arise, eat food, and let your heart be cheerful. I will give you the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite.' And she wrote letters in Ahab's name, sealed them with his seal, and sent the letters to the elders and the nobles who were dwelling in the city with Naboth. She wrote in the letters, saying, 'Proclaim a fast, and seat Naboth with high honor among the people, and seat two men, scoundrels, before him to bear witness against him, saying, "You have blasphemed God and the king." Then take him out and stone him, that he may die." So the men of his city, the elders and nobles who were inhabitants of his city, did as Jezebel had sent to them, as it was written in the letters which she had sent to them. They proclaimed a fast and seated Naboth with high honor among the people. And two men, scoundrels, came in and sat before him. And scoundrels witnessed against him, against Naboth, in the presence of his people, saying, "Naboth has blasphemed God and the king." Then they took him outside the city and stoned him with stones so that he died. Then they sent to Jezebel, saying, "Naboth has been stoned and is dead." And it came to pass, when Jezebel heard that Naboth had been stoned and was dead, that Jezebel said to Ahab, "Arise, take possession of the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite, which he refused to give you for money. For Naboth is not alive, but dead." So it was, when Ahab heard that Naboth was dead, that Ahab got up and went down to take possession of the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite. Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite, saying, "Arise, go down to meet Ahab, king of Israel, who lives in Samaria. There he is, in the vineyard of Naboth, where he has gone down to take possession of it. You shall speak to him, saying, 'Thus says the Lord, have you murdered and also taken possession?' And you shall speak to him, saying, 'Thus says the Lord, in the place where the dogs licked the blood of Naboth, dogs shall lick your blood, even yours.' So Ahab said to Elijah, 'Have you found me, O my enemy?' And he answered, 'I have found you, because you have sold yourself to do evil in the sight of the Lord. Behold, I will bring calamity on you. I will take away your posterity and cut off from Ahab every male in Israel, both bond and free. I will make your house like the house of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, and like the house of Baasha, the son of Ahijah, because of the provocation with which you have provoked me to anger and made Israel sin.' And concerning Jezebel, the Lord also spoke, saying, 'The dogs shall eat Jezebel by the wall of Jezreel. The dogs shall eat whoever belongs to Ahab and dies in the city, and the birds of the air shall eat whoever dies in the field.' But there was no one like Ahab, who sold himself to do wickedness in the sight of the Lord, because Jezebel his wife stirred him up. and he behaved very abominably in following idols, according to all that the Amorites had done, whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. So it was, when Ahab heard those words, that he tore his clothes and put sackcloth on his body and fasted and lay in sackcloth and went about mourning. And the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite, saying, "See how Ahab has humbled himself before me. Because he has humbled himself before me, I will not bring the calamity in his days. In the days of his son, I will bring the calamity on his house." Thus far, the reading of God's word. May he add his blessing to our consideration of it this morning. Brothers and sisters in our Lord Jesus Christ, as we look at this passage, we see something that is helpful in our own time as well. We look at Ahab, and we have as well his wife Jezebel. Israel was, in some ways, a constitutional monarchy. There was a manner in which God was over all, but following their rejection of the judges, Israel had a king. And yet they had a constitution, God's word. There are certain things that are right, and there are certain things that are wrong before anybody says anything as ruler. And despite all of Ahab's wickedness, Ahab was trying to live fairly well within that constitution. Certainly, he was not obeying the part of serving God. But the laws, the rules of the nation stood. He knew that it was wrong for him to kill someone just to get his land. And so despite the fact that he went home sullen and sad when he couldn't get the land by rightful means, he didn't go beyond that. And on the other hand, we have, of course, his wife, who is not from Israel, and she brings in a very bad element. And when someone stands in her way, what does she do? Kills him. It doesn't matter. There is no standard to her. And as we live today, we have to be very careful that our government does not have unlimited power. We live not in a democracy. I hear this again and again and again. We live in a constitutional republic. Because some things are right and some things are wrong before anyone votes. The Constitution defends not the popular, but the unpopular. Because we can live with one another. But sadly, modern politics has shoved that off to the side. And so as we look at Naboth, and as we look at Ahab and Jezebel, and as we look at God's judgment brought to them by Elijah, we see the wickedness, we see somewhat where that comes from, and we also see Ahab repents when he realizes that God's judgment is coming. And that's the theme that we want to see, is Ahab finally repents when confronted with God's coming destruction because of his leading of Israel astray. Ahab finally repents when confronted with God's coming destruction because of his leading Israel astray. In verses 1 through 6, we see that Naboth objects to Ahab's purchase of the vineyard, and he objects based on Israel's law, inheritance law. In verses 7 through 16, we see that Jezebel uses the leaders of Naboth's community to murder him for his vineyard. And in verses 17 through 29, we see that Ahab repents when Elijah confronts him with God's coming judgment. One of the requirements to hold offices in the United States when the United States was founded, when the colonies became the United States, in 12 of the 13 colonies, and the one that was remaining didn't have it because it didn't have a constitution yet, was that to hold an office in those colonies, you had to believe in future reward and punishment. Well, nobody believes in that, sadly, today. If we believe in future reward and punishment, notice even Ahab in all of his wickedness is caught up short when he realizes God's judgment is coming. And we as Christians need to understand that God will judge. And as we watch this nation, God will judge the wickedness of our rulers. And it's not going to be with the destruction necessarily of their families. It is. You look at the nastiness that goes on within some of these families of our rulers. But notice, God will judge eternally. It's not going to be just on this earth. There is final eternal judgment coming to those who are bringing about some of the wickedness that goes on in our nation. And so as we look at this passage, first of all, we look at Naboth objecting on a law principle to Ahab's purchase of the vineyard. Ahab seeks to purchase that vineyard. Notice, Ahab goes to him and he says, I'll buy it from you for money. I'll give you one that's equivalent. Young men, as we have been studying in catechism, what happens if somebody doesn't want to sell you what you want to buy? You can't even want it. So the land is not available for purchase. That's called covetousness. That's one aspect of that idea of covetousness. When we notice what Ahab does then, right? He goes home and he whines. Poor me. I can't buy what I want. Naboth objects, as we've said, based on Old Testament inheritance law. The land of Canaan was given to particular families. And while it could be sold, it always came back to that family. It was never to be sold outside of the family. The person always had the right to buy it back. The time in which they were told they could sell it, temporarily, of course, was when they got too poor to have it. They had to have money from the land to live. The land, as Naboth says, is my inheritance. It has been in his family since the time of Joshua. And he wasn't going to give it or sell it. And by the way, this is a foreshadowing for us as Christians of our land in the eternal promised land. That we don't lose it. It cannot be taken away from us. We have an inheritance given to us by our elder brother Christ. And it is ours. And it's not going to get transferred away from us or stolen or something like that. That's what that inheritance law was there. It was a foreshadowing of our eternal home that was not going to go anywhere. And so, of course, Ahab goes home and he won't eat anything. And he won't lay down on his bed and turned away his face. Despite his evil, Ahab does not finally object. He knows the law. He knows the Constitution. It says he may not break this particular law. Despite breaking virtually every other command of God, he understood that certain things were not allowed. And Ahab goes home sullen, which is in itself a sin. If we cannot buy what we want from someone, we need to accept that and not spend our time in envy or sullenness. We need to trust the Lord. And Jezebel then, though, is informed. His wife came to him and said to him, "Why is your spirit so sullen that you're not even going to eat?" Jezebel, being a good evil wife, asks Ahab why he's so sullen. Now, it's good to be attentive to the mood of our spouse, but Jezebel, of course, uses her attentiveness for evil. He said to her, "Because of Naboth, won't sell me what I want." And he laid it out to her. Notice he's again reminding everyone of the rules. And of course, Ahab willingly tells her what's going on, and communication in a marriage is a good thing, right? Except when you're having a hissy fit about where you can plant your vegetables. It's time to get over it. But we do that, don't we? We have hissy fits. We whine to our spouses. And so Jezebel, she takes and puts her own oar in. Notice what she says, verse 7. Now exercise authority over Israel. You're the ruler. You can do whatever you want. Arise, eat food, let your heart be cheerful. I will give you the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite. Notice the influence that she has for using his power and his position for evil comes from Jezebel. We're going to see that later on in the passage too, that God specifically says that very thing, that his wife Jezebel had been the director of many of these things. Notice the influence comes from his wife. Ahab, as we've said, despite his evil, doesn't go there. Note, young people, how bad an influence our spouses can be. We're called to seek a spouse. It is wise to seek a spouse who will be an influence on us for good and not for evil. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 15:33, do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. That means stay away from evil friends, from friends who push us to do the worst thing instead of the better thing. And especially when we get married, we have to be very careful that that person is someone who is going to push us to do better things with our lives, not worse. And so Jezebel writes letters in Ahab's name. She impersonates him, which doesn't usually work out well, does it? Think about Haman and King Ahasuerus in the book of Esther. Having someone else able to write rules based on your power is a bad idea. And she commands the leaders of Naboth's hometown to follow this wicked plan. Seat two men, scoundrels, before him to bear witness against him, saying, you have blasphemed God and the king. Then take him out and stone him that he may die. Scoundrels. Now it's interesting to me in a number of ways here that there should have been stops going on all the time, checks and balances. Jezebel calls for murder. As Heidelberg Question Answer 105 says, murder is murder, whether it's by yourself or by another. They have him placed in a place of honor, and then they cut him down. They have false witnesses bear witness against him. You think the people at this meal, at this feast, didn't know that these guys were scoundrels? Almost certainly they did. So, of course, it's a trap. And of course, what do they do? Do the leaders of the town object? No, that's what comes from the king, right? We do what the king says. And it's been proven that people are very ready to listen and to obey commands, even commands that hurt others, because someone else told them to do it. When people tell us, when rulers tell us to do evil things, we are called by God to say, no, not going to do it. This was demonstrated heavily during the time of the Nazi regime. But across the board, we can, there's a thing on YouTube where they have someone who's being told to turn up the electroshock on a person to the point at which it's dangerous. And when you tell somebody to do it because they deserve that, then the person is significantly more likely to do it, even though, of course, this was a play thing. They had the person screaming in the next room as an acting thing, but it was a horrendous demonstration of when we're told to do things, we easily follow those commands. And so these people, these elders, these nobles should have said, No way! Not going to do it. But of course they do. They obey Jezebel's commands in Ahab's name. And so they proclaim the fast, they follow through, they do it all, and they take out and they kill the guy, they murder him. And then they report back to Jezebel. Notice they don't report to Ahab. So where the commands came from seems to have been apparent. These were not really the commands of Ahab the king. They sent to Jezebel saying, Naboth has been stoned and is dead. And upon hearing that Naboth was dead, Ahab went to take possession of Naboth's vineyard. Again, we note that Jezebel received the information first, and she tells Ahab, it came to pass when Jezebel heard that Naboth had been stoned and was dead, that Jezebel said to Ahab, arise, take possession of the vineyard of Naboth, which he refused to give you your money, for Naboth is not alive but dead. Again, so many places where this should have been stopped, and yet people didn't do it. And we as Christians need to be careful that we stand up when the government tells us to do that which is evil. We stand up. So Ahab, what does he do? Does he bring judgment against his wife for murder? No. Ahab heads out. He goes and takes possession. He went and took possession of the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite. And yet then God sends Elijah. The word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite, saying, arise, go down to meet Ahab, king of Israel, who lives in Samaria. There he is in the vineyard of Naboth, which he has gone down to take possession of it. God tells Elijah exactly where Ahab is. And you shall speak to him, saying, thus says the Lord, have you murdered and also taken possession? And you shall speak to him, saying, thus says the Lord, in the place where the dogs lick the blood of Naboth, dogs shall lick your blood, even yours. Receiving benefits from the evil of the government makes us complicit in that evil. We have to understand that. Ahab, even though he is not the one who sent out the letters, is responsible and has murdered because that's what his wife has done, and he receives the benefits. And God immediately brings his judgment on Ahab. Where the dogs licked Naboth's blood, there your blood will be licked. Yes, even yours. God will judge. And we have to understand that, we need to be careful that we are not receiving evil, the outcomes of evil from our own government. God says, behold, I will bring calamity on you. I will take away your posterity. I will cut it off from Ahab, every man of Israel, bond and free. Ahab responds, have you found me, O my enemy? And this time Elijah doesn't say, I'm not your enemy. He says, I have found you because you have sold yourself to do evil in the sight of the Lord. Ahab's response, of course, is to call Elijah his enemy. And Elijah responds, I've got a purpose coming to find you. You are doing evil. You're going about evil. And God will judge. And God promises to cut off Ahab and his posterity. Every male from Ahab, from Israel, both bond and free. And will make your house like the house of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, and the house of Baasha, the son of Ahijah, because of the provocation with which you have provoked me to anger and made Israel to sin. Ahab led Israel into sin. Yes, Ahab was following after the ideas of his wife Jezebel and many of these things. But God points at Ahab. Ahab had the responsibility as king to stop these things. This goes as well to these leaders of the community where Naboth really lived. They had a responsibility. They had blood on their hands too. And they wouldn't stop it. And God then says, your house is going to be the house like the house of Jeroboam and the house of Baasha. Just totally gone. Why, Ahab? Because you have provoked me to anger, and you have guided Israel into sin. And God also speaks concerning Jezebel. He says, the dogs will eat Jezebel by the wall of Jezreel. Jezebel, because she was the impetus of many of the times of Ahab's evil, she would also receive judgment. And hearing this, what does Ahab do? Despite Ahab's wickedness, he humbles himself at God's judgment, and God delays the final fulfillment of that judgment. But first of all, we have the reminder of how wicked Ahab was. Verse 25, there was no one like Ahab who sold himself to do wickedness in the sight of the Lord, because Jezebel, his wife, stirred him up. Notice Jezebel was pushing him, but Ahab is the one who, as we said, is responsible to stand up. There was no one like Ahab who sold himself to do wickedness. Ahab was the worst of the worst. And notice again, Jezebel, his wife, stirred him up. See again how much influence our spouses can have on us. Better not to be married than to be married to a bad one. And he behaved very abominably in following idols, according to all that the Amorites had done, whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. Ahab had followed the idols of the nations which God cast out before he put Israel into the land of Canaan. By the way, this is why God sends Israel into captivity. You want to serve idols? Okay, you can go live in a nation where they serve idols. And they got their fill of it, by the way, the Judah in captivity in Babylon. They got their fill of the idols. And if we as a nation continue to deny God, we will receive his judgment as well, and perhaps already are. So at these judgments, as Ahab hears that fact, he realizes how bad things are going to get. When he heard these words, verse 27, he tore his clothes, put on sackcloth on his body, fasted and lay in sackcloth, and went about mourning. He humbled himself. Ahab humbled himself at the hearing of God's judgment. Ahab had sold himself to do wickedness, to drive Israel to wickedness. And he saw the power of God through Elijah, and he turned. And God slowed down his judgment on him. God relents. He says that then the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite, and he said, see how Ahab has humbled himself before me. Because he has humbled himself, I will not bring the calamity in his days. In the days of his son, I will bring the calamity on his house. God delays his judgment. Notice the mercy of God. Now, Ahab did not repent fully, and we'll see that, Lord willing, next Lord's Day. But Ahab, God had grace, even to the wickedness of Ahab, that Ahab humbled himself. And we, as Christians, need to humble ourselves before God. We have to understand, we can so easily as the church look outside and point how bad everybody else is. But Peter says, 1 Peter, that judgment needs to start at the house of God. We need to look at ourselves. What are we failing to do? What do we need to do in this world? And if you think about Daniel, what does he say as he prays? He says, it was my father's sin, my sin, that put us in this captivity. He didn't spend all his time looking out and saying, look how bad everybody else is. And brothers and sisters, we need to start with ourselves, not pointing out, looking at everybody else, saying, look how bad they are. But we as Christians need to start ourselves saying, look how sinful I have been. And that we seek as Christians to live more according to God's commandments, to be salty as the salt of this earth, to be light with the gospel in a world that needs the light of the gospel, instead of hiding that light under a bushel so that nobody sees that we're a Christian. And as we look at God's grace, God will and can change even the hardest hearts. Yes, Ahab was not finally changed, but God does and has changed the hardest sinners, the hardest opponents of the gospel. We need to be praying for that. We need to be seeking that. And we need to speak to people who need the gospel. Because there are many all around us who don't know. And so, brothers and sisters, as we look at Ahab, we see his wickedness, and we see even that wicked heart can be softened. And so as we see the wickedness that goes on in the world around us, the wicked, hard hearts can be softened by the Word of God, by your grace. And we must be those who are bringing that gospel to those around us and living it before them. Amen. Let us bow our heads, our hearts before God's throne of grace and in prayer, and we will close this prayer together with the Lord's Prayer. Almighty, most gracious Heavenly Father, we pray, Lord, that you would remind us of our sins and our failures as your church, so that we might truly be salt and light in a world that needs salt and light. We pray, Lord, that we would hold the gospel and your judgment before this world, so that they would see the true judgment that is coming and be called to the Savior. And we pray, O Lord, that we would not obey wicked commands that come to us from those who are higher up above us to do evil to others. We pray, Lord, that you would bring repentance to us, that you would bring repentance to those who lead us. We pray, Lord, for even the hardest hearts to be converted. Use us. We know that you ordain not only the end of that change of heart, but the means, those who would speak your gospel and your law to this world that seems so stuck and set against it. We pray, Lord, use us. We pray, Lord, that you would bless us to bring your gospel to this broken world, that we would truly be that light and that salt in this world as your church, glorifying and honoring our great and awesome Savior, who lived in a manner that was perfect. And yet, for being perfect, he was sent to the cross. We thank you that he went to that cross willingly so that we would have life. We pray, Lord, that our lives would not be for our own purposes, but for the glory of our awesome Savior. For we pray these things in his name, praying as he taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.